post online at democracynow.org. We have a full-time news fellow opening at Democracy Now! You can submit your application by February 5th. Find out more at democracynow.org. That does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Dina Guzder, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Laura Gottesdiener, Sam Alkoff, John Hamilton, Robbie Perrin. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks so much for joining us.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the second Kwanis Hayes Angelversary on Saturday, February 10th, from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Portland Police Bureau's East Precinct in Portland. On February 9th, 2017, teenager Kwanis Moose Hayes was shot 3 times by police, once in the head execution style, kneeling and trying to follow conflicting police commands. This peaceful protest is in memory of Moose. Again, that's the second Kwanis Hayes Angelversary on Saturday, February the 10th, from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Portland Police Bureau's East Precinct, 737 Southeast 106th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Portland performance of Soliloquists of Sound and Marv Ellis and We Try on Friday, February 9th at Mississippi Studios in Portland. This show is a co-headlined evening of psychedelic and funky conscious hip-hop from Florida and Portland. Their intention for this show is to help unify communities and to raise consciousness towards social and political issues here in the U.S. and around the world. Again, that's Soliloquists of Sound and Marv Ellis and We Tribe on Friday, February 9th at Mississippi Studios, 3939 North Mississippi Avenue in Portland. This is a 21 and over event. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Portland.
A cigarette that bears lipstick's traces, an airline ticket to romantic places, and still my heart has wings. These foolish things remind me of you. A tinkling piano in the next apartment, those stumbling words that told you what my heart meant, a fairground's painted swings. These foolish things remind me of you. You came, you saw, you conquered me. When you did that to me, I knew somehow this had to be. The winds of March that make my heart a dancer, a telephone that rings, but who's to answer? Oh, how the ghost of you clings. These foolish things remind me of you. Sweet to find you still. to me. They seem to bring you near to me. The scent of smoldering leaves, the wail of steamers, two lovers on the street who walk like dreamers. Oh, how the ghost of you cling, these foolish things remind me of you.
Don't you know its clouds contain pennies from heaven? You find your fortune all over town. Be sure that your umbrella is upside down, babe. Send him for a package of sunshine and flowers. Don't you know the things you love, they must have showers. And when you hear the thunder, don't run under a tree. There'll be pennies from heaven for you.
Good morning. You are listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. 90.7 here in the metro area, 91.9 in points east, such as White Salmon, Washington, Hood River, Oregon, up and down the Columbia River Gorge, along the Willamette River Valley, 104.3, and everywhere. This is Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, at KBOO.FM. Welcome to More Talk Radio. Thanks for holding sway while we put things in order. I am flying solo today while Cecil and a cadre of very engaged, enthusiastic, and encouraging people move down to Salem in commemoration and in repeated effort for the 2018 iteration of the Poor People's March. So what we will have today are conversations by phone from two people who are at the scene, and possibly even from our very own Cecil Prescott, as they talk about presenting a letter to our legislature down in Salem to outline needs for today's lower income communities. And when I say lower income communities, it's not just about poor people. It's about people in general who work for their dollar and are seeing less and less opportunity to have a meaningful and stable life, as outlined by some of our economic forecasts, as outlined by some of our economic news, and as outlined by our political setbacks. We have right now on the line A.J. Mendoza. Coming up a little later will be Monica Beamer, formerly of KBOO Portland, to help share some of the energy and the insight going into the 2018 Oregon Poor People's March. Are you there with us, A.J.?
Hello, yes, I'm here. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, well, thank you for being there and being available. So first and foremost, tell us just a little bit about yourself. How is it that you come to be part of the Poor People's March? And then tell us about this Portland version and the 2018 Poor People's March and effort.
Sure thing. Well, I'll tell you a bit about how I first got involved in the Poor People's Campaign, and then a bit about how I kind of arrive and show up. My job, Portland Jobs with Justice, has been very sort of active in the convening of the steering committee of the Poor People's Campaign in Oregon. We've been able to play host at our office. And so that was sort of my entry point into meeting just, like you were talking about, the incredible group of encouraging people, I think was a well way to say it, that have come together to give this campaign energy. And I think how I arrived personally is I'm a mixed race person. I was raised by a single mother. My partner is a dreamer, and so this campaign really speaks to me as a whole person who can who is being affected by these incredible systems, and who it resonates with me to have a moral movement that can kind of organize and really speak with one voice against these things that we are sort of facing right now.
And before I launch into the things that we're facing right now, because if anybody was listening to Democracy Now! Just a moment ago, you know some of them already. We had an hour of information that talked not only about some of the setbacks that have been proposed through legislature, but just the whole moral tone and timber of our times right now just totally disregards the needs of the average person. But with regard to what we're bringing forward, both in terms of letter and vocally and with our presence, tell us a little bit about what you see right now going on, and more importantly, what it is you're taking to the legislature that is specific to Portland.
Sure thing. Well, I think that sort of as a bit more context, this sort of revitalization of the Poor People's Campaign that was envisioned by Dr. King has sort of been really moved forward at the beginning by Reverend Dr. Barber, who
yes.
And his Moral Mondays out of North Carolina. And this year's effort is going to be sort of launched, and it's very local, local and contextual to like the issues that are affecting people at the state level. So there's going to be 40 days of direct action at 25 different state capitals. Oregon specifically is a little bit different than a lot of other states because, as you know, this year we have a short legislative session. So while other states are going to be having capitals that are very active and will be able to do 40 days of direct action, nonviolent civil disobedience in those state capitals, we're going to have a little bit of a different looking campaign, and how that is going to look exactly is kind of still to be determined. We have principles and sort of common points of reference that we share as a national campaign, but I for one am really excited because this campaign sort of focuses on getting impacted people in the room and making the decisions that make sense for us in our context. So right now, today, what we're gearing up for at the state capitol is more of an introduction to this campaign, to why having a moral voice right now matters. This isn't a campaign that is just in opposition to one particular person and their agenda. This is a campaign that is really has a vision for a future that is just and that is transformational.
Okay, when you say a campaign that's going to be slightly different because of the time constraints, okay, we understand that maybe then what we may have are meetings or there may not be as many public actions, but are there any specific requests or concerns within Oregon that are unique? I know housing is a big issue here. We're also one of the hungriest states. What are some of the things that are specific to our Poor People's Campaign?
I think you hit the nail on the head with those two. I think housing is an issue that right now is resonant in Portland, especially as people are being forced out of their homes, of neighborhoods that their families have been in for years. I think especially, too, as the situation with Dreamers and other undocumented folks develops, that's going to be an important component of this campaign. I think that looking at the issue of, what's the word? Like, basically, law, when there's sort of shootings by law enforcement and how that disproportionately affects communities of color, specifically black people. Like, this is something that we can't sort of shy away from talking about. And that I think that this campaign is well positioned to be able to speak to and to call to the better angels, I think, of our nature. That's going to be how we fix these incredible things that we're facing.
You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community connection, KBOO Portland. I'm your host for today's show, Celeste Carey, flying solo. Cecil Prescott is out in the field. He's also down there in Salem with you, AJ, and he's part of this effort to meet with the Oregon legislature and offer, and I say offer generously. we should be just saying demand, know, a list, a proposal for things that just basically need to change. I mean, we can dress it up and we can give it really flowery language. These are the things we need to survive. But basically, it's what we need to remain human beings. Not hyperbole. When we're talking about lack of food security, when we're talking about lack of housing, we're talking about really basic human needs. Now, I'm going to ask you two questions. First, the easy one. The easy one is, how can people stay abreast of what's going on in our unique and short window for the Poor People's Campaign here in Oregon? How can they get involved if they haven't already?
PoorPeoplesCampaign.org. There is a pledge card that people can fill out online there, and that will get you connected into the Oregon campaign specifically. And you can follow us on Facebook too. There's a Facebook page that is live, and we will be streaming a press conference from the Capitol steps this morning at 10 a.m.
At 10 a.m. Okay. Now, yeah. Here's a harder question. So stand back, and if you got anybody nearby who can help you answer that, here's the hard question. Now, if anybody else out there was listening to the segment in which on Democracy Now, Amy Goodman was speaking with Dr. Harry Richards and the protest effort that had been mounted by professional NFL, the Football Players League. One of the things he said is that this effort is going to kind of peter out. You know, it's gonna dissipate. People are gonna get busy with real life and real problems. We're gonna continue to be stymied by an uncaring and unfeeling legislature, both in terms of state and local, and then the federal issue. And then just to mirror some of the words from Reverend Barber himself, the effort that had been led and popularized by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. itself lay fallow since pretty much 1968 after he had been shot. What is going to keep this movement moving, and how do we actually get our electeds to listen? We've got state and federal legislators who seem to think that the $1.50 increase in a person's paycheck should be sufficient and mm-hmm. is cause for celebration. How do we actually think we're going to make a difference?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that is a hard question. I can speak personally to what I think will sustain this campaign. I think that this campaign is rooted in bringing together impacted people. So it's not sort of a top-down, here's the solutions from the focus group. This is a campaign that sees people and sees not just like themselves and the wholeness of all of their identities, but is focused on the underlying issues and changing the systems, that is acknowledging like the impact of systemic racism, and all that that means, that rejects sort of narratives of, oh, there isn't enough to go around, is just going to really be bold with constructing a narrative that is different and that brings together people. And we are going to start at the state levels. So those sort of 25 states that I was talking to you about, we're going to use state level organizing of the most impacted people to then sort of affect a national change. So I think that right now there hasn't been sort of 40 days of action at 25 different state capitol buildings. That's never happened, and that's historic. And so there is newness, and this campaign is bringing in people. And I think that right now it's not so much like they're kind of quoting from Rogue One, but it's not like, what choice do we have? It's like, or it's not what chance do we have, it's what choice do we have. Like, we don't have any other choice except for to come together and organize right now. And there might be a lot going up against us, and there might be energies that we that are taxed a lot already. But I think that the moral voice that, and that's gonna what's gonna be sort of uplifting us and keeping us going. Because I think that we're going to win.
First, thank you for your work. Second, thank you for your enthusiasm. And then for, you know, outlining some of the points that make this particular effort different than it was in 68. I like the way that you said, first, we need to think of this. This is a no choice scenario. This is the worst case scenario right now. And the fact that local organizing can make a change. Now, how much longer do I have you?
I'm actually going to need to run in just a few minutes to get sort of the logistics of that the press conference ready. But yeah, okay. Me for a few more minutes.
Okay, good. So first, the website for the streaming, the live streaming action at 10 a.m., what is that website again?
So that's going to be the Oregon Poor People's Campaign Facebook page. I'm not exactly sure what the HTML for it would be, but if you just go into Facebook and search Oregon Poor People's Campaign, that'll pop right up.
Okay. And then, as you said earlier, you can also visit poorpeoplescampaign.org for more information on how to become active. And then I know that there are a number of other Portland area and wider area Oregon folks that are involved in it. Who should we look for those smaller cells so that we can help out with not only voter registration, but whatever financial support we can, or just keeping track of whatever ways are opening up that we might be able to help? Are there local churches or local organizations such as Jobs with Justice where we can plug ourselves in?
Oh, gosh. There are right now so many churches that are at the table and have like physical versions of the pledge cards at their locations. I would be remiss to start listing those for fear of forgetting some of them. But I would steer people really towards the poorpeoplescampaign.org, because all of the pledge cards that get signed up either at churches locally or online are going to be sort of fed into the Oregon campaign.
Gotcha.
It's the
wonder of technology that's kind of bringing it together. So we don't have to look at it right now at that smaller cell level. Well, AJ, I want to thank you for painting the picture and getting our hopes reignited that change can happen. And it's like we said, just like grassroots come up, everything starts at the ground and moves forward and moves up. It's not a top-down model right now.
Hear, hear.
All righty. Well, thank you so much for taking time to update me, and success today. That's it. Thank you so much. Just success. Thank you.
I appreciate it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Take care.
You too. This has been a quick conversation with A.J. Mendoza of Jobs with Justice, who has kind of given us a thumbnail sketch of the Poor People's Campaign as it will move forward here in Oregon. Now, we're going to also talk with Monica Beamer, and you are also invited to share whatever work you're doing along these efforts, your thoughts, your questions about the 2018 iteration of the Poor People's Campaign. And one of the things that has kind of hit me is when you look at the fact that we have legislators, as I've said, on the local and the national level who are either ignorant of what we're doing or uncaring of what we're needing and doing here as everyday workers. What can we do? How do we address the fact that a new effort is needed? The problems are still the same, but a new effort is needed. And then also, how do we reach those people who still seem to think that our current political leadership is doing a good job? How do we reach them and speak with them without either condescending or alienating them so that they realize they too are us? We are all part of the Poor People's Campaign. And whereas we may be poor financially, we're not poor emotionally or mentally, intellectually. It's a matter of us getting together and overcoming some of the challenges or the ideologies or even goals and visions that separate us and move forward. What are some of those goals and visions? Well, right now, for example, we've talked about housing. Yet on some very basic levels, you have people who ought to be allies at odds with each other, even here in the Portland area, as to what proper housing development should be. How do we overcome that? How do we get together in conversation so that this particular iteration of the Poor People's Campaign is successful and has that broad and deep participation that Dr. Martin Luther King envisioned? 503-231-8187 is the phone number. And let me see if we've reached Monica. No, it doesn't look like we've got hold of her yet. And I don't know if Cecil's going to be able to join in. As he told me last night, he's going to be doing some of the grunt work. So he's not sure if he's going to have the opportunity to talk. Oh, I got the high sign. The kick is good. We have Monica Beamer on now. Good morning, Monica. Can you hear me? Okay. Technology apparently is building up its strength. There we go. Okay, apparently we had enough electrons moving in the right direction. How are you doing, Monica?
I'm doing good. How are you, Celeste?
I am well. So you two are in Salem as part of the 2018 Poor People's Campaign.
Yes, we are. And thank you for having us on and talking about it. It's so important. And it's also, you know, we are talking about what we're doing in 2018, and AJ did a great job of outlining 2018, but this is a long-term campaign. I think, I don't know if folks know, but 2018 is the 50th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King's murder on April 4th, and definitely there will be commemoration, but this is not just a commemoration. We're building
right.
a moral and powerful new movement of people to reclaim the moral narrative in our state and in our country, and end poverty and end systemic racism and end the military economy and end the ecological devastation. So we're building power, and we'll keep on doing that through 2018, through as long as we need to create the gains that that will happen, the social gains from reclaiming the narrative.
Well, now that's encouraging, because as I kind of paraphrase Dr. Harry Richards from the interview on Democracy Now! Earlier with Amy Goodman, one of the things he talked about was how he felt that the football players' protests were going to diminish with time, and that with no point leadership and so many other distractions, it was going to go the way of many human protests. But it sounds as though this is something that people have already considered in the 50 years past, and we're looking, like you said, as for sustained action. Now, what are some of the things that make this expectation of a long-term action real? I've heard that you're working on voter registration, for one, but what are some of the things that make this long-term real?
Well, I think it's the moment in history we live in as well, where people are just really ready to come together and unify and rise up and learn from each other and to take strategic action. We have the goal in each of the, I think it's up to 30 or 32 states, to recruit 1,000 folks to engage in civil disobedience. We'll be doing training, civil disobedience in 2018, and in Oregon we already have 450 people signed up, and it's growing by about 50 to 100 every week. And so people are really ready, and this is across our state. So I think some of it's this moment we live in, that people are ready to unify. And the specific demands are going to come out of the campaign and come out of the relationships that we're building. It will, one of our goals is to build for the current social justice movements and motions on the ground, especially those that are led by communities of color and poor communities and Native communities. So we'll be building capacity and power, but we'll be building unity, and our demands are going to come out of that. Right now, we're just saying we're here, and people are really ready to take action and to work together. So yeah, today is one of our, you know, this is a continuation of the Poor People's Movement that was started 50 years ago. At first when we started, we were saying the new Poor People's Campaign, but really it's a continuation. It's a reignition. But many of the people who are involved, especially at the national level, were involved with Dr. King helping to formulate that. And much has been, a lot has been continuing to go on, of course, although the conditions, as most of us know, have worsened, gotten even worse. So a lot of good work is happening, has been happening. We're coming together. This particular reignition of this campaign has been in the plans for 10 years and working towards this moment. And so we're really happy to be together today and to continue to grow. So as AJ was saying, poorpeoplescampaign.org is where people can sign on. People are welcome to call me as well. I'm with the Western Regional Advocacy Project, and we work on the Homeless Bill of Rights campaign and fight the criminalization of people who are poor and homeless. And we are, folks can email me. I'll give my email, mbeamer, B-E-E-M-E-R, at rap, W-R-A-P, home.org. And we're doing, we're talking about the campaign across the state. We're using technology. We'll also hopefully be going out into the communities and supporting folks if they would like us to come. And we are building across the state and across the country. And today, as AJ was mentioning, we're going to be in 32 different states, but also nationally. So when folks go to the net, we'll be in our nation's capital. So if folks go to the poorpeoplescampaign.org website, they'll be able to see some of the states, but also what's happening in our nation's capital.
Now, Monica, one of the things that you mentioned was that that you're going to have an action today. And when I spoke with AJ, we talked about it being on the Facebook page. Is there any agenda set aside, developed yet, so that when people click on that Facebook page, they can see what's going to be done, what's happening when, if they want to be a part of it, how long it lasts?
Yeah, we're going to meet on the, we're down here now, we're going to meet on the Capitol steps, the state Capitol steps at 10 a.m. Send an email to that email I just gave, I'll be getting my email and I can send more directions. We have some great speakers, and from across the state, then we're going to, we're going to have two different delegations to bring our letter, our delivery of our letters, telling about our campaign to the folks in the Capitol. And so, you know, today is to serve notice that if our voices aren't heard and our issues remain unaddressed, and then we're prepared to take direct action, engage in nonviolent civil disobedience together. And, you know, it's not only going to be nonviolent civil disobedience. We'll have lots of coordinated different actions, political education, sitting in a room together, getting to know each other and knowing about each other's struggles. So, but yes, today we're delivering those demands to the Capitol.
And you are listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the metro area, 91.9 in all points east along the Columbia River Gorge, and the Willamette River Valley, 104.3, and everywhere else is KBOO.FM. I'm not sure how much longer I'll have you, Monica. One of the things, though, I want to ask, like I asked AJ a couple of hard questions. I want to ask you a couple of hard questions too, and I heard you mention a little bit about coalition building, and across quite a few more different communities maybe than we experienced back in the 60s. And so I imagine there's going to be some really big challenges in trying to umbrella or cover all of these different identities and areas of intersectionality. But what are some of the challenges we face here in 2018 as we try to articulate everyone's concerns and everyone's needs, and get people to recognize that differences of lived experience are still valid points for organizing political action.
Yeah, I think, you know, there are challenges, you know, deeply entrenched white supremacy in our state and in our nation that we really have to challenge. You know, people are just trying to survive and are pretty exhausted. That's something we're going to have to overcome. But I really think that also we need to learn to listen to each other and take our leadership from those who are most impacted. And, you know, that's the power of 2018 in this campaign, is that we have the structure and the hopes and the resources to do that. You know, we really want this to be a statewide campaign, not just something from Portland. We have speakers from Woodburn and Cascade Locks today, very powerful organizers, and and technology is on our side in that way, because we have been zooming in with each other and being able to see each other and talk across the state and talk about what's happening and talk about the campaign and, as AJ mentioned, the fundamental principles. So people should go to the website and check them out and let me know if you have any questions, and we'll just really look forward to being together in 2018.
Well, thank you so much.
And further.
And further, because as it's been said more than once, and we want to repeat, this is not a one-time march. This is going to be an ongoing effort. And I imagine to not only keep people encouraged so we can see more people joining in the effort, but to actually make some move, this has got to grab some critical mass. We got to keep people encouraged, and by getting together and starting those conversations, this is where it all begins. It's kind of like a recoalescence. So you got to reconnect with people. You got to become familiarized with each other's struggles so that you can be supportive. Now, do you have time to take a call with me? Because I've got a caller here online.
You know, I do have to go in. Let me see if I can hold out another minute or so.
Okay. Yeah. In the meantime, while she's doing that, we've got James who's been holding. So I'll bring you up, even though you may not get to talk with Monica. James, good morning. You're on there.
Good morning. Yeah, you know, the thing that she's saying is right on, you know, about letting the people who are most impacted by the policies be able to lead the way. And I think one of the things that we really have to do coming into 2018 is we really have to start, it's really tough for me because I feel like in the age of information, if you don't know what's going on, my personal opinion is that you're just willfully ignorant, because we have the means to look up things. But I feel like if we really want to create a cohesive movement, then we really need to start defining what racism is. We need to start defining what white supremacy is. People need to know the difference between prejudice and racism. Because I feel like there's a lot of terms that are thrown around, you know, like reverse racism, which obviously doesn't exist, but we can, you know, because there's a lot of sensitive and hurt feelings, because we've been living in a constant state. As Martin Luther King put it, there's a difference between negative peace, which is the absence of tension, as opposed to positive peace, which is the presence of justice. And we've been living in negative peace for so long that it's literally just like a flood of emotions. It's a flood of it's been a rising tide behind this wall of negative peace that now that it's finally starting to crack, it's not just leaking through, it's starting to bust through. And there's a lot of people who have just been...
Okay, I think, James, did I lose you? Okay, the engineer is trying to juggle quite a few lines. So, James, we just dropped you. And I want to continue as I was listening what I was picking up out of your conversation. If first we need to establish a common language and a glossary, so to speak, I think I would challenge Dr. King. Yeah, I know I have some audacity in defining what was called a positive versus negative peace. I don't like that idea of saying negative peace, because it conjures up, if nothing else, ideas of double negatives and some confusion. I would call it a respite. And the reason I call it a respite is it's not negative peace if it's nothing. Peace being nothing is broken, nothing is missing. It is a balance of being that allows an organism to thrive. I don't see this description of negative peace as allowing an organism to thrive. And I'm falling back on both my writing education and my nursing education in terms of defining that. This. Another thing is I agree with you about defining words like prejudice and defining concepts like racism and making sure we use them correctly, such as people of minority status can never be racist because they don't have institutional power behind them, but they most definitely can become or be bigots. But I want to take the task, if you haven't called back yet, James. I want to say something about what you were saying about people not being able to keep up and being willfully ignorant. This is a poor people's campaign. To stay connected in a meaningful fashion, requires money. If you don't have access to the internet, poo-poo on that, go to the library. Okay, what if you don't live close to the library? What if library is not transportation or location favorable for you? Does that mean then that if you're not keeping up, you're being willfully ignorant? What if you don't have access to anything beyond the three television channels? And you can't afford cable news, or you can't even afford internet connection, so you can't afford alternative news. We have to remember that when we talk about this being a poor people's effort, access to information has to fall into that. You know, and I speak from personal experience. If you don't have access to the internet, it changes everything. In the time when I was back east this past January to deal with death in the family and situations, I didn't have access to telephone or internet. And it was a matter of not being able to connect with people in a meaningful fashion, as well as do any kind of research to find out ways to change or improve my situation for not having a telephone. In other words, I couldn't even look up where phone numbers were or how to connect. So we don't want to further alienate those very people we're trying to empower. Now, I got James back and I got April. So let me really quickly finish up with James and then get April on the air. So, James, were you able to pick up any of part of what I was saying about we can't say people are being willfully ignorant, because being able to be connected and get information is a privilege nowadays. It's not a right. If you don't have the money, you can't get informed.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe I was, and I did catch a lot of what you were saying. I really agree with what you said about negative peace. That's just been something that's in my mind, because we like the waters to be still, but we don't. But, you know, as long as the water's still, a lot of people don't care what's hiding under the surface.
Oh, the fact that there's no oxygen in it to breathe.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So, I mean, I agree about your ideas about respite and, you know, because really it's just, I mean, for me it was more of an idea that, you know, we create this kind of artificial sense where it's like we live in a time where it's like, when you're starting to bring up systemic injustices, and there's a lot of people who don't want to rattle the boat. They're like, oh, don't talk about that, because the people hear you talking like that, you could lose your job, you know? So it's like, for me, it's like the negative piece rang with me, but I can agree with you on respite. I mean, the whole point is that we live in a time where we're supposed to walk on eggshells about serious issues.
So, well, and that's a good point, you know. So we'll start, like you said, with getting our glossary and looking into each other's faces. And I did like the fact that AJ and Monica mentioned that people are using technology to see each other, because we're building a coalition from the ground up, which means we have to do the very same dynamics that we would if we were meeting somebody for the first time and trying to decide whether or not we're going to be friends
with them. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one more thing before
really quickly.
Just everybody needs to remember coming into this that poverty has a purpose. You know, there's a reason why people are poor, and I think that, you know, I think this Poor People's Campaign is excellent because of the fact that we need to understand that our poverty is not just some, we're not lazy. There's a reason why certain demographics are more impoverished than others, and why there's such a huge wage gap between the highest paid person in our country and the lowest paid worker, and why we can't seem to bridge that, so.
And that's a good point. Well, I tell you, start with your circles and move outward. And thanks for your call.
Yes, ma'am.
And
have a great day.
You too. And we'll go to April. Thank you for holding, April.
Sure. I just had a question.
Sure.
Really. I did appreciate this morning when you were talking to AJ, I think it was, you were saying, well, how can people stay connected? And he gave an internet address. And then I called up to comment, well, I don't have access to the internet. How can I be connected? And I heard you talking about that. So that was really, really wonderful. So I'm just wondering if there's a way to do a little more research and maybe find out how people without the internet can stay connected. Because I get all my information from KBOO, And so if it was, you know, something that was ever found out in the future and it was on KBOO, then I would love to be involved.
Well, I have to pull up a phone number here, and I'm going to try to get it before I go off here in about 3 or 4 minutes. But to learn more about the Poor People's Campaign, mm-hmm. and I understand that the Sisters of the Road Cafe at 133 okay. Northwest 6th Avenue here in Portland, and I'll give the zip code to 97209, have hosted some conversations. And then that is with the Social Welfare Action Alliance and the Western Regional Advocacy Project, RAP. So those would be the organizations that I would expect would have information and should be able to be reached by phone. Right now, I'm looking at the Facebook page that has the events for the Poor People's Campaign in Oregon. And, you know, amazingly, there is no phone number on here. Now, I'm not slamming anybody. I'm just merely pointing out that we need a piece of information here. So I'm trying to do a real quick search for their phone numbers. And of course, my little laptop is arguing with me. But, you know, one of the reasons why I just find myself really bringing up the whole idea again of how we have to pay attention to the fact that just because we have this wonderful technology, we should not depend on it to the exclusion of low tech like telephone and face to face, because I'm here to say you sometimes less is more, and if you have a phone number, that is more. Okay, and I'm still not finding a phone number. This is amazing. I just put it in there to Google it. I should have said search. Doggone it! I'm so indoctrinated, aren't I? But anyway. Let me see. You know what? Right now, I can't. I keep pulling up all these other pages.
Yeah.
Once again, here are two of the organizations that are involved in it. And just look for them. It's the Social Welfare Action Alliance, and then also Western Regional Advocacy Project. Either one of those should be able to give you the low-tech way of connecting.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Celeste.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And I'm sorry I didn't get to some of the other callers, but I want to thank you for being engaged and caring enough to call. This has been More Talk Radio. I'm Celeste. Stay tuned, because coming up at 9 o'clock, the Old Mole Variety Hour, we'll discuss U.S., Israeli, and Saudi wars in the Middle East. 10 o'clock, Locust Focus with Barbara Bernstein. 11, Health Watch welcomes Dr. Joel Foreman. 11:30, Madness Radio, and most importantly, KBOO keeps you informed, and it doesn't take high tech. It's low tech, people's voices floating into your mind, your ear, your heart. Your community connection, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Engineering Committee will meet on the first Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Help us help you keep Portland weird. Join Contessa de la Luna of the World Famous Confessional for the 6th annual Contessa de la Luna Valentine's Spectacular and Fashion Show. We're giving away a $100 cash prize plus live performances by Contessa de la Luna. Get your weird on and bring a date. Advance tickets available at Brown Paper Tickets. All proceeds benefit your community radio station, KBOO. That's Thursday, February 15th, 7 to 9:45 p.m. Feel the love of your other Contessa de la Lunatics. Contessa de la Luna's Valentine's Spectacular, Thursday, February 15th at the Clinton Street Theater, 7 p.m.
KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon, bridging the gap between prisons,